Welcome back to Game On, where we are going to turn our attention to rugby. We did intend to get to rugby last night, but Alan Cawley took off on a Stephen Kenny rant and basically started the Stephen Kenny fan club. So unfortunately, we couldn't get to Ian Keatley last night. Of course, last weekend was the second weekend of the URC Championships. But I'm delighted to say that Ian has taken our call this evening. Ian, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, Stephen took over last night. I was waiting anxiously to get my point across and I was like, oh, this guy's going on a rant here. So
He made
good points, in fairness to him.
He did. Alan Cawley was backing up Stephen Kenny last night. But anyway, the URC, the good, the bad and the ugly. I was slagging Marie Crow about that last night. But that could apply to the rugby teams at the weekend. Where will we start? With the good, I suppose. So we'll start with Leinster, who absolutely thumped Benetton in what was the Dan Sheehan show.
Yeah, like four tries from Dan Sheehan, albeit they were most of them on the back of the mauls. But Leinster, they look good again. They look formidable once they get inside the 22. And I'd say once again, I know they didn't win any trophies last year, but they've already put their hands up for early contenders for winning the URC again.
They most certainly have. So Kieran Frawley obviously went off with an injury after kicking three conversions and won't probably make the emerging talent tour. Is he a loss for that tour?
Yeah, he is. It would have been a great opportunity to lead on that tour, lead as the main probably number 10 he was going as. But listen, he's still young in his career. I know they were playing him 12 the last couple of years. I always saw him as a really good number 10. He looks quite cool, calculated, and you know what? He's a big number 10. There won't be many guys running down his channel, so he looks like definitely a great future prospect. Another one through the Leinster turn belt.
What's your view of the emerging talent tour? Good?
There's mixed opinion on it, but I think it's a great idea. The more exposure these guys get to as close to international rugby, the better. I know it might affect the clubs, like the likes of Munster, Leinster, O'Connor, but it makes them use their whole squad and really challenge their squad depth as well. So hopefully it'll give a lot of the younger guys a lot of chances to play for their club or their province during this time.
Exactly. Absence will, of course, increase the chances of others getting an opportunity. There's been big change in Leinster over the summer. Obviously, Andrew Goodman came in for Felipe Contaponi. Sean O'Brien is in for Dennis Leamy. And Stuart Lancaster will be gone next year. They're slightly in transition. Do you see much difference in the team from last year to this year? Do you see a difference under the new coaches?
It's hard to tell. Obviously, Sean's come in as the breakdown coach, contact coach. So I think he's quite similar to Dennis Leamy, who's just left that position. And obviously, Sean, he's still learning his trade as a coach, but he's well respected in that group and through all rugby circles, playing for obviously the Lions. And I know Sean; he's quite vocal and he's very good. He's probably a coach on the pitch anyway, whenever he was playing. So I'm sure it'll be a smooth transition for him. And listen, those Leinster boys, they're kind of all coached themselves. They're all kind of well taught. They've all kind of got good habits instilled in them from Joe Smith and even from Stuart Lancaster. So there's not much fine tuning to be done.
How hard will it be for those players to work with Stuart Lancaster, knowing that he's gone at the end of the season? Will there be a bit of resentment, or will they just get on with the job?
Because this happened with Johan, and a lot of people were saying that Johan should have left. But I think when you, like, Stuart is, he's kind of gotten results with Leinster. They've all highly regarded him as being, jointly with Leo, being a top quality coach. And I know they used to say that they used to learn when they go to Ireland, and they used to learn more when they came back to play with Leinster. So I don't think there'll be a drop off with him saying that he's going to Racing. I think the fact that he's got told them quite early, he probably told them in the summer, it kind of gives them a long time to get over it and then get on with the job.
It's a big, it's a strange one. I just often wonder, I know in racing, if you said, well, my intentions are to do this, you'd be shoved quickly out the door. Obviously, Johan Van Gaan got his time in Munster. Stuart Lancaster's going to get his with Leinster. Different sports, different strokes, I suppose. Moving on, it was also a good weekend in Scarlets for Ulster. 55-39. The scoreboard, to me, would say two porous defences.
I remember also played last week, and they played. They didn't actually play that well, but they still played a little brand of exciting rugby, which they've carried on from last year. And last week, even though they didn't play well, they were still able to create chances and score tries. And then this week, they actually clicked. And they've kind of, as I said, they've kind of taken on from when they were last year. They look like they're going on the right path with Dan McFarland. They've got a lot of young, exciting players coming through, and they could be contenders this year, definitely, because they're playing a nice brand of rugby, and they can be direct, but they can be get nice width in their game as well.
John Cooney was at the middle of everything Ulster seemed to do at the weekend, but look, when you score that many tries and score 55 points, you have to analyse things as to what maybe you did wrong. But it's conceding 39, is that worrying?
Yeah, you're better off conceding 59 when you've actually scored 55, so it's worrying if you concede 39 and you don't score 55 points. So yeah, listen, it'll be a little warning for them. And I said, you're better off getting these warning shots when you still win the match by a comfortable amount. But it's great to take those learnings when you win. Yeah, it is. Obviously, you don't want to concede any tries. As I say, you only want to kick off once in any match. But we all know that doesn't happen. So it'll be a work on, but at least it happened at a good time.
It most certainly did. Munster and Dragons, 23 Dragons, 17 Munster. Donegal Callaghan was quite vocal about the players standing up and taking blame, I suppose. But I mean, was it even a little bit harder for Munster to take, considering JJ Hanrahan kicked 18 of those 23 points?
That obviously shows that about, like everyone is talking about, obviously their skills and their basic skills, catch pass, breakdown work. But another probably worrying part was probably their discipline as well. I'm just looking at this Munster team, and they've gone through a lot of changes this year with new coaching staff. I do think it's going to take time for them to adapt. But I think that there is a confidence issue. I think if they can get one or two wins underneath their belt, I think they'll kick on a lot quicker. Just obviously they lost two preseason games, they lost their first two games of the season. There is a confidence issue there, but the players know that. They will criticise themselves the most. They'll obviously have the criticism from the fans and from critics, but a player knows that wasn't good enough standard, and hopefully they can turn around this week against Eber.
I know confidence can affect your willingness to take a risk or your willingness to maybe score, but can you really blame a lack of confidence for a lack of discipline?
Because what happens then when you've got lack of confidence, you're trying so hard to turn the form around, the result, and you just try, you actually, and people might see this, you try too hard and you're over eager and you're trying to get the ball back quicker, so you try and go for a poach when it's not on, the referee's staying hands off, and you just hold on to it for too long and the referee just penalizes that confidence causes a little bit of panic, and that panic just causes a little bit of poor decision making, which it all has a knock on effect. And everyone knows when you're playing well, the rub of the green starts going for you as well, because you're making better decisions. So the thing is, they just need a bit of confidence. They need one or two good results, and I think a lot of things will start clicking for them.
It's good to see Joey Cabri back on the pitch as well. Is he going to be key to how Munster get on this season?
Yeah, I think that everyone's striving for Joey Carby when he first came down to Munster. That excitement, obviously he's had a few injuries, but like, Joey, a full flight is a joy to watch. Joey can't play the way he wants to play unless the whole team is functioning. If you're not getting quick ball, if you're not changing the point of attack, if you're not moving the ball to space, it's very hard for Joey to show off his talent. So, like all the players, if you don't have the ball, if you're indisciplined, if you're knocking on the ball, you can't win your breakdown. Your best players can't shine. So it's a team game, and those individual players show their class within the team, but the team needs to function first.
Do you still have full faith in Graham Rowntree?
Yeah, I know Graham, and I've talked to him a few times, and listen, he's been around the block. If Munster put a blank CV without Graham Rowntree's name and all his credentials, they were like, this guy is the perfect guy for the job. Like, he's been around the block, he's been on countless Lions tours. He's been with quite a few great teams throughout the years. So he just needs time to embed, and the coaching staff need time, and the players need time to adjust. They're changing their habits that Johan and Razi have instilled in them for the last couple of years. And it does. It takes time to change habits.
Ill-discipline probably cost Connacht as well. We'll get to Bundiaki in a second, but it was still indiscipline. I mean, the penalties they gave away, they were 13-8 down before when the Stormers got a yellow card. They pegged it back a little bit, but it was what they gave away through penalties for Connacht as well.
Yeah, and discipline is, like I know every team says it, discipline is key. If you always try and aim for under 8 penalties a match, and if you're over that, you're always at a risk of losing any game, especially a South African team who likes to kick to the corner, maul, get their forward game going. Against these South African teams, you can't be indisciplined, because that's just their bread and butter. They're big men. They will literally grind you down and tire you out, and they might maul you, but what that does, it causes fatigue into your legs, and then later on they'll get the jump on you, and they'll end up scoring a few tries, which happened in the match in the weekend.
And the Stormers obviously won 38-15 in the end. Two of those tries coming after Bundiaki was sent off. It was an obvious red card. His reaction as well, though. His reaction, Ian, was very un-rugby-like. Will his reaction and how he confronted the referee, as well as the tackle he made, will that impact on the ban he's going to get?
Yeah, I think definitely. Like, you can't talk to a referee like that. Listen, I wouldn't excuse what Bundy did, but it's so hard when you're a player and there's a player isolated like that, a guy over the ball, and you're coming at such pace to get to that breakdown so you don't lose the ball. And Bundy was saying, he was trying to say, he's like, where do you want me to hit him? Like, the player actually had a perfect position. You couldn't go in from the side, because obviously that's penalty and almost a red card as well. And that's why Bundy was like, what do you want me to do there? But you can't go near the head. And sometimes if there's a player there, you just have to sacrifice losing the ball. I can see why, I know coaches would go to Bundy, you have to get there, you have to hit him. You have to hit him there at the back of his shoulder to try and get him off. But Bundy just, because he was coming at such pace, hit the back of his head, and yeah, it's a red card. But his reaction afterwards, it won't help his situation. I think he's got previous record as well. So listen, Bundy, when he's in full game mode, he gets into full game mode. He's a competitor, and then you talk to him after the match, he's one of the nicest guys you'll meet. But I think that was just a reaction, because he was fully in game mode and he wanted to do well when he came on.
We'll back you up there, having met him once or twice. He is a gentleman, but he is going to get a big ban. And yeah. What does he do? I mean, shoulder to head or head to head contact in rugby is something they're trying to wipe out. Does he just have to slow down?
Well, if he slows down, then it's a turnover and the ball's lost. It's one of those situations in rugby where it's such a hard situation for the clean, the guy who's coming in to clean, because the player was over the ball, he was in a really good position, probably the referee is about to blow, you come in at such pace, and you're probably coached to come in, and he actually, Bundy had a really good technique, he was nice, low, but he just put the shoulder onto the head, which is a no-no. Like, Bundy needed to be spot on with that clean, just hit his shoulder, coming in at that pace. But we all know, if you're coming in at such pace, there's so many moving parts on a rugby field that if you're slightly off, you're connecting with the head instead of the shoulder. And that's why I kind of do feel a little bit for Bundy, because I know what that's like, but I completely understand that it's a red card because you can't make contact to the head. And that's why Bundy was saying, like, what do you want me to do there? I couldn't do anything else. But yeah, but it's just so small margins. And then obviously when it's a headshot, like, we're trying to ban it from the game, and I think rugby is doing a really good job at trying to nullify it. But we can see that there's so many red cards in the game now.
There is, most certainly. Bundiaki has, of course, apologised in South Africa. A long week for him down there.
Yeah, they're keeping him on down there, aren't they? Well, that shows us he's quite an influential member of the squad. Because usually players, if you're red carded, they'll send you home. So they're keeping him over there, because he is probably, when they've got and they've got Bundy in the team. They're a different team. They've got that little edge to them. They get to go forward ball. He's very good ball carrier, defender, decision maker. And then Connacht this year, they need to get their Irish boys back as much as possible, because that's when they play some very good rugby. They just struggle sometimes when they lose the likes of Carty, Prendergast, Hansen, Bundy. If they lose them, I'm not sure if they have the strength and depth to compete week in, week out.
They'd be a big loss to any team, those four players you've just mentioned. Ian Keighley, thanks a million for taking our call. Best of luck with your next training session. RTE 2FM.